Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
On Friday, the United States Department of Agriculture predicted more corn would be used in the next marketing year to make ethanol domestically than would be shipped overseas, and December futures rallied 18 cents. Can the gain continue? Is ethanol a player in the market again? And what will the index funds do next? We'll talk about all of these and much more today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Dan Bossi of AgriSource out of Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today are Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Normal, Illinois, Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. It's back, baby. Ethanol's back in the limelight, at least for the moment. Do you think it'll hold the trade's interest for very long? Kurt Kimmel.
Well, definitely. The USDA looking at 3.4 billion bushel. That's solid demand. That demand's not going to go away. It's going to hold in there until unless we'd happen to go sharply higher. But that was sort of the catalyst here on Friday, is confirming that this demand's in the marketplace.
Mike Zuzolo?
Yeah, we hope so, Todd. We sure need it, that's for sure. After Sunday night's trade and that nice high we put in, that market just went straight down, and everybody got into a mindset of selling rallies if you talk to them in Chicago. So we hope this report really did change the psychology and put us back on a demand footing. It was interesting. I talked to another radio person over by Springfield, Illinois, and he had just gotten back from Washington, D.C., and did an interview with Yost from USDA and talked about Yost talking about the Asian demand and how the Asians are only buying about 4 to 5 weeks out right now on their corn. And he just simply said that's just not enough. They don't understand or appreciate what's going on with this ethanol demand. And, boy, when you saw those Friday numbers, you sure knew what he was talking about then.
Dan Zwicker.
Well, ethanol sure came in stronger than what the trade was looking at, and that was a big contributor, of course, in bringing an ending stocks level at least down underneath a billion. Probably the biggest contributor, of course, was USDA using a below-average trendline-type yield. So where the trade was looking at a 1.3 billion type carryout came in here under a billion, so the market had to adjust to that.
In fact, those numbers finished on Friday like this in the corn pit. May contract, a high this week of 390, the low at 343.5. They settled off 20 and a quarter for the week at $3.61. December futures at 374.5. They were down 16 cents from last week. That despite the very strong rally on Friday. There were serious losses earlier in the week. USDA's numbers from the WASD reports Friday morning like this. Dan mentioned it. The corn ending stocks at 937 million bushels. That's for this ending stocks of the 06-07 marketing year. The 947 belongs to the 07-08 ending stocks year. Let's start at the bottom line. USDA Dan now predicts the new crop corn season's average cash price will range from $3.10 to $3.70. That's better than last year, but below the recent high. Should the farmer use those figures to make new crop marketing decisions?
I don't know if I'd want to necessarily use those averages, but I think it gives producers maybe a general idea of what they kind of think. For the most part, probably that's what current prices are offering. December futures at certain levels minus the fall basis level, depending upon where you're at in the Corn Belt. I suppose those bids vary between 310 and 370. So, my guess is that. This balance sheet, the thing that I worry about this balance sheet is that this could be the tightest balance sheet of the season because USDA started out with a lower end yield. Now, if that yield starts going up, we have favorable weather, then all these reports coming at us is going to show a growing in these stocks numbers. So that's the big fear I have looking at. That was my initial glance, is that this might be the tightest balance sheet of the year. So I would tell farmers, depending upon where they're at, that they probably should maybe use price strength stimulated from this balance sheet to make some sales.
So, Mike, what do you think about this? The tightest balance sheet of the year, 150.3 bushel average across the nation, 12.46 billion bushel crop, according to USDA, and they use the 90.5 million acres. Is this going to be the tightest one or not?
I wouldn't say that. I don't think Dan's saying that either. I think what he's saying is watch out, and I think that's what we all took away from this week. I mean, I think it could be a 12 billion bushel crop or a 13 billion bushel crop, but that 500 million bushels either way is sure going to make a heck of a big difference. What I took away from the report after looking at it Friday was from here on out, any 07, 08 hedges we do in both corn and beans and any 08 or an 09 that we would put on from here on out is going to be on paper until we get through that pollination and that pod fill for both corn and beans. It's just the acres are too low on beans to have a problem at this point. I'm skeptical that they're that low, but I'm going to take them at face value, and I'm going to take USDA face value right now. So paper positions from here on out for us.
Paper positions, you agree?
Well, covered positions, for say, you want to be flexible because you can raise corn yield 5 bushels an acre or drop it 10 bushels an acre. We got a lot of weather in front of us. Also, too, not only that yield, acreage is still a question mark, too. So I think we're just getting warmed up. This 70-cent move from Sunday night's high down to the low Friday morning to Friday's high, 70 cents. It's going to get worse than that. So you got to stay flexible. I think you got to have covered positions and have some type of plan in front of you.
Dan, do you have to get a slide rule out to deal with the tech side of this thing?
I like roller coasters, so this was a good ride. You know, it really put some G's on you.
long as you don't have a position in the market, I suppose you're okay. So what do you see now on the tech side of the market? Where do we stand?
Well, I think what this week's action tells us is that the breakout above the trend line that we saw the previous week was a bear trap. It trapped everybody last week because it was very positive price action. So you probably had some new longs go into that. You had people feeling pretty good. I was looking at my laptop Sunday evening, saw corn open up a dime higher. I go, what? I didn't think things were that bullish, but they did open up that higher, and it really had some positive technical action. But by the time Monday was over with, we had a 20-cent reversal to the downside. So, and then we had the follow through, and then now we had this reaction to the upside on the tight ending stocks level compared to what the trade was looking at. I still think you still have to follow the trend lines, and until the market can demonstrate some solid momentum above some of these stronger trend lines, is still a downtrend in market for now.
Mike, what potential pitfalls do we see in the crop at this point? And I'm talking about not maybe getting it in the ground, because I think we'll find that most of it's in the ground. But what other pitfalls do we see? I think we saw something out of Purdue or out of Indiana that suggested there might be a lot of replant of Roundup-ready crop, and that they were doing some Section 18 on a few chemicals so they could get in and kill that corn.
We've had calls anywhere from Paulding, Ohio, all the way to Tuscola, Illinois, saying that, you know, you got to give me a rain at this point if I got it in this kind of moist, you know, compacted soil essentially is what's going on. And most of the guys that we've talked to have said, my chemical's not working until I get a rain. My root can go down 4 to 5 inches, but then it's going to hit where it's real tacky, where I put it in the ground. I got to get the root to go down deeper, so I need some rain on it. It's really interesting when you look at the and you talked about this Friday with Hilberg, I think, that, you know, when you look at the amount of moisture we've lost in the last week or two, it's just simply amazing. We were dealing with crop delays and planting delays because of too wet a weather, because of how the soil is right now.
Steve did suggest that it was awful dry in the state of Illinois. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. We talked to him Friday afternoons about 2:32, as we do every day during the closing market report, with a meteorologist. So weather will come back in as the primary player. How quickly, Kurt?
I think as early as this coming week. We start missing some moisture this coming week here in these drier areas. I think the trade's going to start paying attention to, as far as the east being too dry and the west probably being too wet.
What are the index funds, you think, doing at this point? Have they took some of their positions out of the marketplace. That was part, I think, maybe of a larger economic move. Will they grow back into the market over the summer months?
You know, if you read the Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank and some of these other index guys that have been on the news wires here recently, they're ready to keep buying. And it's funny, they're as excited about buying wheat, it seems, as they are corn. And it's mainly based upon the feed grain demand. And that's what USDA gave us again on Friday. World-ending stocks of corn down 3.2% this new crop year, even with 9.5 million acres. Wheat-ending stocks down almost 6%. No one really talked about that in Chicago, in my opinion, when we got done with the day on Friday. No one really was looking at the world numbers or talking about them that much.
Maybe we better take a look at the wheat. In fact, May futures this week, a high of 486, a low at 468. They settled into May a penny higher at 483, and July futures at $4.93 on the week were off a penny and three quarters. The WASDE all wheat production in the United States at 2.2 billion bushels. That's up 20%. The global wheat production for the 07-08 marketing year at 4% higher than this year, but that's not saying much. The previous two seasons both produced bigger numbers. Crop production report, including wheat numbers like this, winter wheat production forecast at 1.62 billion bushels, up 24% for the United States from 2006. Area harvested for grain at 37.2 million. That's up 19%, a lot more acres. And based on May 1 conditions, U.S. yield forecasted at 43.5 bushels to the acre, up 1.8 bushels for the previous year. Hard red production up 51% from a year ago to 1.03 billion bushels. Soft red down 11%. And those totals are 347 million for the soft red. So does this give the soft red the opportunity to rally into the harvest, or will there simply be too much pressure from that generous hard red crop? And you kind of frowned at that 51%, but I'm almost positive that I cut and pasted that right out of the USDA's numbers.
So. Part of that is, if you go back, remember, we were extremely dry out west. We had really poor conditions last year, so we had a small crop, better conditions this year. But the great debate is the Easter freeze. And I think that debate's mainly in the soft red winter wheat here in the east. We feel there's more acres that were torn up than expected. These insurance companies were anxious to write checks. The producers were anxious to tear it up and put another crop in it. So as time goes on, as USDA gets a better handle on it, we feel that soft red winter wheat acres here in the eastern belt are going to be lower, so therefore you're going to have less of an acreage base to work on.
And you're going to be able to rally those markets into harvest or not?
I think it's more of a spread activity. We believe Chicago is going to gain on Kansas City.
I like the chart pattern of wheat. I have ever since it broke out of the April freeze. We had a strong early May type rally. We had a respectable pullback retracement. We've regrouped now. We closed higher. So I think wheat is ready to make a new leg up. First point, of course, would be the high that we made here in early May, and then past that, then we'll look at the highs we had back in October. So the interesting thing on wheat, I think the most important thing on wheat, is world wheat stocks were tightened again. And I think that's going to be a key force, and it could be propel the wheat market higher, counter-seasonal move right on into harvest. And then we'll kind of take it from there.
Mike, you always like it when the wheat leads the market. Seems to be one of the things you like to watch and have happen, especially for the corn to follow through. What do you think?
It helps. And, you know, even in 96, the corn and the wheat diverged, and the corn still was able to go higher. So if we could get the wheat to help out here, it sure would help. And like Dan said, it's really important. We have been lacking some new buyers here in the wheat, it seems like to us, Todd. So we want to see how this market shapes up. If we can get July new crop futures up above $5 solidly, up above $5.15. Can we get a slug of new buyers in there that are pretty tight-fisted, long-term new buyers? You know, that's what it seems to be lacking is conviction. There's no long conviction in the wheat and the corn in the last 3 weeks.
Soybeans now, May, had a high this week of $7.55, a low at $7.22. Their settlement price up 16.5 cents at $7.50 for the May contract. November beans in Chicago at $7.90¾ at the end of the week. Finished 14 cents higher from week to week, Friday to Friday. Soybean production projected at 2.7 billion bushels. That's down 443 million from the 05-06 record. Soybean supply is projected at 3.4 billion bushels, down 8% from the 06-07 crop, despite sharply higher beginning stock. Soybean crush projected to increase 1% to 1.8 billion bushels. That reflects some limited growth prospects for the domestic soybean meal use and soybean meal exports, according to USDA. In contrast, they say rapidly expanding production of biodiesel from soybean oil, contributing to a projected 6% increase in domestic soybean oil disappearance. Biodiesel production projected to use 19% of the total soybean oil production for the 07-08 crop year compared with marketing year compared to 13% for 06-07. Still, the large South American production expected to keep a lid on soybean prices, with USDA predicting a cash range from $6.50 to $7.50. Does that price range seem too low?
Oh, so if we get some weather on it, because basically, you know, they gave a generous yield, and that yield could probably be obtainable for favorable weather. But when you look at from the old crop to new crop, we slashed ending stocks by over half. And when you project beans into 08-09, that even gets tighter as producers focus on corn production. But we feel the sleeping giant is the bean and bean oil market.
How do you view the fundamental side of this marketplace when you took a look at USDA's numbers?
Again, they use a conservative yield at 41.5. Of course, you know, this is all subject to summer weather, but they did use a conservative yield, and that helps out on supply tightening. And actually, if you could probably argue why they took a little lower corn yield, because you got larger acres. A big increase of these acres are in less productive soils than maybe. But then on the other hand, then you almost got to say, okay, the opposite is true on beans, that we don't have the beans in marginal ground. We got a little better soil. So, but that would be the only thing, I think. Other than that, it came in pretty well as expected. And soybean oil is the key leader here if you look at the soybean oil chart. And, you know, if that's truly climbing to new heights, you know, that's going to offer some pretty good support to soybeans.
Mike, a final word on the soybeans before we head into the weather segment?
We're still in a trading range mindset, Todd, 835 to 760. Yeah, buy on a close above 835 November. Defend hedges, close above 835.
May live cattle, or rather June live cattle, 93.50 on the high over at the Mercantile Exchange this week. They're low at 91.30. They settled $1.22.5 higher at 93.40. The May feeder cattle of 109.70 were up 2.50, and May lean hogs settled down $1.70 at 73.55. Dan Bossi will join us in 2 minutes.
I'm Steve Hilbert with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Weather more typical of early summer took hold over Illinois this week, with most days suitable for field work across the state. Rainfall was spotty in Illinois, with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday and early Wednesday. Rain was mostly light where it fell, although a few locations did receive sample rain. One Cocoa Roz observer near Highland, Illinois in Madison County picked up more than an inch of rain in the 24-hour period ending Wednesday morning. Amounts that high were the exception, however. It was a warm week as well, with temperatures running about 8 degrees above normal this week across the entire state. Other than one or two somewhat humid days, it was a comfortable, warm temperatures, with dew points generally running in the 50s and highs in the 80s. High pressure along the East Coast early next week will maintain warm southwesterly flow across the Midwest, and temperatures will continue to run above normal. A fairly strong cold front will approach Illinois on Tuesday, potentially triggering organized showers and thunderstorms that could bring rain to much of the state. The front should push well south by Wednesday, and cooler weather will finish out the week, with temperatures near to perhaps slightly below normal. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is WILL Urbana. Our panelist in studio today, Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Normal, Illinois. Our guest today is Dan Bossi. He's the founder and president of AgResource, a domestic and international agricultural advisory and research firm which forecasts domestic and world agricultural price trends. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome, Todd.
And let me first start by thanking you for keynoting our AM 580 All Day Ag Outlook meeting. I hope it was worth your while, and we appreciate you coming over in March.
Well, anytime you can get that many producers hanging out of the balcony, per se, to look at an Outlook meeting, it's always a lot of fun. These are exciting times.
Yeah, there were a whole lot of folks there, about 400 or so. Ethanol is back, I guess. You talked about it then. I suspect you'd say it never left the market. What do you make of USDA's prediction that it could handily surpass exports in the usage category?
Well, I think it's probably right. I did a meeting with USDA on transit and logistics a couple weeks ago out of Washington, and I was surprised to learn that 85% of the new ethanol facilities coming on this year will do so in the second, third, and fourth quarters. So everything seems to be a little bit backloaded. And they tell me there's well over 100 new plants on the drawing board that they are considering lending money to. Tom Doerr's group, Urban Development. So there is still an awful lot of interest in ethanol, and at some point I worry the market's got to send a different signal that we just can't keep building these plants so rapidly.
Well, Dan, with the USDA estimate of $3.4 billion for corn this coming crop year, what would be your projection a year from now adding to that?
We're looking at 4.4 to 4.5, so we believe we need to find another somewhere in the vicinity of 95 to 96 million total acres of corn, up another 5 to 6 million acres, to satisfy both fuel and feed. And so that's one of the legacies of these markets, is that with the biofuel industry expanding so rapidly, how do we find those acres? This year we were able to borrow from cotton, from soybeans, from small grains. Next year it's going to be a different paradigm, and we just can't afford to have soybean acres in this country being above 70 million acres for years on end.
Now, let me back up just a second to your first answer. You said you were fearful that the market was going to have to give the ethanol industry a different signal. I understand what that means, but when and what do you think it means?
Well, Todd, I mean, this year, based on 90.5 million acres, and we think that that planting number is probably overstated by about 2 million acres, USDA made the yield adjustment today just because they didn't want to make a fight with NASS. But nonetheless, we believe that if you were to have weather, adverse weather, that you would lose 3.5 million bushels. We start getting down to U.S. corn end stocks that would demand, anyway, that somehow the U.S. ethanol industry starts to ration their production. And so by that, based on today's crude oil price and where we are, that would be something in the vicinity of 520 to 550 a bushel. Now, I have no idea whether we're going to be losing 3.5 bushels of yield or not. But that's kind of the setup as we head into summer, and that's why this market's going to remain so dynamic.
Dan, going to timing and getting a pulse from Chicago, because that's what you have such a good pulse on that I personally sorely lack unless I call up there. But let's say that we get a really good soaking rain in the Corn Belt midweek. Is what you're talking about in the ethanol, is it too soon to expect something like that to override a good soaking rain in the corn market still withstand a price pressure break again, given what we just got from USDA on Friday?
Yeah, I think everybody in here in Chicago is still so negative and disbelieving of today's USDA data that if you had good weather, you would still see some selling and some pressure, maybe back to the old lows. I don't think we're ready yet just to launch this market unless the forecasts are dramatically warmer and drier early next week. It looks to me we've still got to do some backing and filling here and form a bottom. But again, with the SOI and La Nina in full bloom out in the equatorial Pacific, I do worry about that mid-June to late July timeframe.
Dan, other than the ethanol number, what else kind of stood out in your mind glancing at today's numbers?
Well, I believe USDA is still too low on corn exports for next year. They're using a 1975 number. We kind of believe that that number should be closer to 2050 or 2100. And so based on what we're seeing in terms of demand trends and matrices for biofuels and other places in the world, particularly China, I think you have to be a little careful with that lower export number. I think over time, USDA will increase that export number, which will put a lot of credence on feed residual if we're going to do any kind of rationing. So we're higher on exports for 07, 08, but I think it'll take several months before USDA comes around to that conclusion.
You think that the increase of 19% for the bean oil production and usage is correct?
I think it's a little high, to be honest with you. The biofuel producers are losing money right now. We are exporting some biodiesel into Germany to help get rid of the supply here in the United States. I think they're about right in ethanol, but in my work, they're still a little too high in terms of biodiesel production and usage in this country. So if anything, I'd look for a modest reduction in the biofuel or biodiesel estimate forthcoming.
Dan, you mentioned exports there. What was your reading of South Korea coming into the corn market this week? Do you see some other things that we might not be seeing?
Well, you know, the Chinese corn market going home today was about $5.50 a bushel. One has to wonder if indeed the Chinese are really legitimate in going forward with an export program. There's 92 new ethanol facilities being built in China. We know that they have a desire to clean up their air, particularly in Beijing, heading into the Olympics. So with that in mind, I'm wondering if the Chinese sometime later this year, early 2008, finally do become that the net importer. I think the tightness of cash corn supplies in China is getting worrisome, but I don't think anything will happen for another few months yet. So South Korea may be telling us, as they did back in the mid-90s, that the Chinese supplies won't be available.
Did you pick up anything in Washington about corn possibly being imported by China, Dan?
Everybody is talking about it. We all know it has to happen, but no one seems to be exact on the timing. Of course, we got a Chinese trade delegation coming to Chicago next week. We all want to believe that the Chinese will buy agricultural products to help in the trade deficit, but on corn, I don't think the Chinese want to hurt prices too badly until they have a better handle on their new crop production and they know what's going on in terms of supplies and production. Yeah. I will mention to you that the Chinese have been very dry. I mean, the Mayu front has not pushed northward. They haven't seen that tropical moisture yet. It's an area of the world that we'll be watching closely over the next couple of weeks.
I made note that on agresource.com, your website, you posted the numbers from the AgMass studies here at the University of Illinois. How are you doing this year?
Well, we're doing quite well. Of course, the AgMass study has ended now, and so we're now basically being rated by Farm Journal and Top Producer. But I think our average in old crop corn is somewhere around 380 a bushel. We have not made any new crop sales yet on either corn or beans. So call us courageous or foolish, one or the other. We just think the demand trends are too strong that I really don't want to get overly bearish until I know I've got a big crop in the making.
And when will you have a feeling about that?
I think mid to the last 2 weeks in June are going to be a very critical time for us. We either at that point have some weather abnormalities or we don't. I'm just not pleased, however, with the way this year's growing cycle has gone with the freeze, the crusting that everyone is mentioning, and, of course, the extreme wetness in the West. This is not a year that is starting out to the degree that makes me comfortable.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us.
You're very welcome.
Dan Bossi is with AgResource out of Chicago, Illinois. And we'd like to give a final word to our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Dan Zwicker.
Well, none other than I think as we approach the critical growing season, it looks like we're going to get the crop here planted. Now we're going to start trading other things in the weather deal. Is that I think everybody kind of has to have an idea of what they want out of their crop here. And when those opportunities come along, they got to peel some of this inventory off.
Mike Zuzalo?
We'd like to see the momentum come back on the long side for the grains and the long-term buyers come back in. That'll make us feel a lot better.
And Kurt Kimmel?
Fasten your seat belts.
All right. Thanks much to Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Normal, Illinois, and Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can always access Commodity Week and other programs throughout the day on your computer at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willuiuc.edu.